This week is Parshat Vayitzeh. Parshat Vayitzeh is exactly one parasha, meaning if you open up a Sefer Torah, you will see that it starts with Vayitzeh and it ends with Machanayim. There's no breaks. It's one single story. And the single story is itself an elegant structure because it starts and ends the same way. Yaakov is traveling. He encounters Malachim. He renames a place based on his vision with the Malachim, right? On the way out, it's Beit El. On the way back, it's Machanayim. He has encounters with Lavan, second step and second to last step. And the middle thing is, of course, the birth of the children. But Begadol, the story of Parshat Vayetze is the story of Yaakov's years away from Canaan. It starts with him leaving, and it ends with him returning. And the question I want to ask is a very simple one. How long was Yaakov gone? How long was Yaakov gone?
From when to when?
From the point at which he ran away, because Esau was going to kill him, until he was reunited with his father. How long was it? Okay? And we're going to assume for a moment, which is a fairly safe assumption, but not 100%, that from the time that he reunited with Esau, or that he left Lavan, there wasn't that long, maybe a couple of years, until he finally made it back to Hebron. He went to Shechem, and he settled there, had the whole incident with Shechem, came to Beit El, had a vision there, and was given the gift of the land, and then left Beit El, and at some point between Beit El and Hebron, Rachel went into childbirth, Binyamin was born, Rachel died, and then he arrived back in Hebron. So we assume that that whole piece, from when he left Lavan's presence until getting back, was not that long. So the real question I'm asking is, how long was he up in Turkey? How long was he up in northern Syria or southern Turkey in Haran? Right.
About 33 years.
So let's see what the Pesukim say. At the first source, which is in Yaakov's Riv, Yaakov actually has a suit. He's being sued by Lavan, he's countersuing him. If you look at the language of that interaction, it's not just dialogue, it's legalese. And Lavan accuses him of stealing away, and also of stealing his household gods. And Yaakov comes back with his own countersuit about how he's cheated him, and he's cheated things, et cetera, and he's making false accusations, etc. Now, in that statement, he makes the following piece. Ze esrim shana anochi imach. Which means? I've been here for 20 years. And then he owns up to how he's been such a great shomer. The Rambam quotes this, by the way, in Hilchot Shomim, I believe it is, where he talks about the extent to which a shomer has to be careful with that which he's watching. Rechelecha vizecha lo shikelu v'dei tzomcha lo achalti treifa lo v'veti elecha anochi achatenu. We actually learn a lot about herding contracts from these words. Miyadi devakshana v'guzi yom guzi lala ha'iti v'yom achal v'chor v'kerach palayla v'tidat shati me'enai. Ze li esim shana anochi v'vetecha. I've been 20 years in your household. Avaticha v'asrei shana b'shtei v'notecha. I worked for you 14 years for your daughters. Right, and 6 years for the flock, and you've changed my price. Okay, so it sounds pretty clear that he's been there for 20 years. But we have a little bit of a problem with this. Now, before we go into the problem, we're going to the problem right away, is what happens during the time he's there, which we'll call 20 years now. What happens during that time? So he arrives, and who's the first person he meets of the family? Is Rachel, and his heart goes pitter-pat, flippity-flop, and then Lavan takes him into the house, and he's there for a month, and Lavan says, I'm not going to make you work for free, what do you want as your payment? What does he say? Rachel bitchak tana, right? Good. So he says, good, so you work for 7 years, and you get Rachel, which means, by the way, how old is Rachel at the time he meets her? Approximately 5, because she's got to be about 7 years before marriageable age. There's no way that Lavan's going to keep his daughter in the marriageable age waiting single. So she's got to be around 7 years before marriageable age, 5, maybe 6. Right? Okay. Why, what's wrong? Yes, but this is not our world. This is not 2016. All right? It's close to 2016 BC. It's about 1700 BC. Very different world. Very different world, right? You don't have any expectations of morality being the same. What?
Rivka was 3.
Rivka was not 3, but we'll get to that at some point.
No, 3?
No, but that's a different parasha. We'll deal with that, right? She was about 14. say the Midrash you're quoting, the proper Gerus actually has 14 in it. But we'll leave that alone for now. Okay? But girls get married at the age of around 12. They don't get married at 3. Nobody gets married at 3. Get betrothed at day 1. But married is when you're able to have children. It's vile for a man to marry a little girl. That's not right. But to betrothed is a different story. But they'd get married at the age of 12 or so. So you have three Rachels about that age. Okay, he meets Rachel.
Come. I don't want to throw you off track.
No,
it won't. If you had somebody that was working for you, free, maybe, what if she was 10? Why would he let him only work, you know, 2 or 3?
Because why would you waste? Why would you waste her childbearing years?
Well, to get the work, 7 years of work out of the guy.
So he can get 7 years of work, marry her at age 12, and then and continue working.
Oh,
that happens anyways.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no. No, I'm not. I agree. I understand from a business perspective.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to let Rachel sit there unmarried while she's already in her childbearing years. After 12, that's when they're unmarried. There was no such thing as adolescence then. You went from being a kid to being a girl, being right. A man would have to work maybe for 20, 30, 40 years till he built up enough capital for a family. That's why husbands often were in their 50s when they married these young girls.
How much older is Leah?
We have no idea. My guess is that Leah is only a couple years older, which is why at this point the expectation is that by that time she'll already be married to somebody, right? And then, surprise, surprise, she isn't. Now, so Yaakov's there for, we're going to say, 20 years. What happens during the first 7 years?
What?
Nothing, correct. He's working, he's single. Okay? Then he marries whom after 7 years?
Leah.
Really. And then how much longer does he marry Rachel?
Seven days.
Right, 7 days.
That's 7 days after?
Yes. Nalacha Shvua Zot, right? And that means you wait 1 week. And then marry, right, pretty much. It was an ancient custom, having a seven-day festival for a wife, right? Give her 7 days, and then you marry Rachel, and then what do you have to do?
7 years.
You have 7 more years to work her off, right? That's very clear that Rachel and Leah are married almost at the same time. So now, after 7 years, he's had no kids, okay? Then he's married Leah and Rachel. What happens over the course of the next, now we're down to 13 years? He has 12 kids, 11 boys and a girl. So you can say, well, that's not such a big problem because he has multiple wives. They could have them, you know, pregnant at different times. But that's not what happens. Because what happens in the story? So I'm going to ignore for a moment the fact that it seems that Leah takes a while to get pregnant because God sees that she's disfavored and he gives her the gift of childbirth. Well, let's say she gets pregnant right away. Let's assume that, okay? So Leah has a kid. That's Reuven. Then she has another kid. That's Shimon. Now, nobody else is having kids now. Then she has another kid, and that's Levi. Then there's another kid, and that's Yehuda. Then Rachel gets into the act and upset she's not having kids. She can't have kids, so she offers Bilhah. And so there's Dan, and then there's Naphtali. And then Leah, who stopped having kids, said, oh, it's a good idea. So then she hands over, which means these kids are all sequential. No one are overlapping. Now, you see, we have a problem. 12 kids in 13 years? Little bit difficult. Right? So now, let's see how the Midrash Seder Olam deals with this. Now, Seder Olam, which we've learned before, by the way, that's where the three that you mentioned. So Midrash Seder Olam, just to quickly put that to rest, Seder Olam, which is a Midrash which is attributed to Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah, 2nd century, is a Midrash which basically creates a chronology of events in Tanakh. And so it says how old a particular person was when an event happened, even though the age is not mentioned there. It ties events together. And in other ways, Midrashically fills in events.
Is this all speculation, or is this...
Well, no, it's to some extent based on certain Midrashic tools. So, for instance, Mesh, you asked about speculation, is that one of the principles of chronology is juxtaposition. When you have events that are next to each other in Tanakh, the notion is they happen at the same time or one after the other. As a result of that, Seder Olam makes the following claim, which I'll later Midrashim pick up, which is that the Akedah happened at the time that Rivka was born, and at the time that Sarah died. Right? However, so we have two versions of Seder Olam. In one version of Seder Olam, which is only supported by one manuscript, they all happened at the same time. We know that Yitzchak was 37 when his mother died, because those dates we have. She was 127 when she died, and she was 90 when he was born, so that's easy. If you say they all happened at the same time, that means that Yitzchak was 37 at the Akedah. and that Rivka was born at that point, and we know from the text that Yitzchak was 40 when he married Rivka, which makes Rivka 3. But the problem is, say that Rivka's 3, it just doesn't work at all in the Parsha, besides it doesn't work in real life. And as a result of that, the better Girsa of Seder Olam reads that Yitzchak was 26 at the Akedah, and claims that Rivka was indeed born at the moment of the Akedah, but that Sarah died later. And that Yitzchak was 26, which would mean that if he's 40 when he marries Rivka, Rivka's 14, which is now worked within normal story. Right?
At that time, because Seder Olam was different, they lived different life. And
then
she was a 3, she was already...
Then it doesn't... Okay, I'll tell you why that's a problem. First of all, because then you've turned all parshanut impossible. If things don't mean anything anymore, then nothing means anything. Right?
But the other way, so it doesn't add up either.
It sure adds up. It sure adds up. A second, let me answer your question. The other problem with that is, well, then it should be the halacha that a 3-year-old is already bar mitzvah, based on what you're saying. And if you're going to tell me the 3-year-olds back then were that knowledgeable and that sophisticated that you could ask this girl, do you want to spend the rest of your life there? And she said yes, and I said, that's good enough. Then that means a 3-year-old should be a bar mitzvah. Well, we don't find anywhere that kids that young were given any rights of that sort. So it doesn't work to say that in those days, 3-year-olds were, like, you know, sophisticated and mature and everything else. Right? Besides which, we have no reason to think that a 3-year-old girl or a 5-year-old girl ever was able to have childbirth except in crazy circumstances. Right? And we don't work with crazy circumstances. It certainly works 100% within the text of the Tanakh to say that Rivka was 14. Because there's no reason in the world to say that Avraham, sent away for, to get a girl when she was only 3. And there's no reason to say that she was born at the moment of Sarah's death. That you don't need. And Sarah dying doesn't have to happen at the Akedah. There's no connection in the text whatsoever that Sarah died at the same time as the Akedah or even related to the Akedah. Sarah died. Understand? You're assuming about certain things, which is going to come play out in here.
It says when she heard about the Akedah.
It says it where?
In the
Midrash. Nowhere in Torah.
In the Torah she died, no?
She never heard of the Akedah in the Torah. It's important to know. Yes. And that's, again, like you said, one way of tying events together. But not the only way, not the simplest way. All right? Besides which, when you read about Yitzchak at the Akedah, making him 37 is a little strange. Hanar, call him Hanar. I mean, it's doable, manageable. No. 26 is a little better. The Ibn Ezra says he was probably around 13, which really fits Nahr much better. Mm-hmm. Right? These events are not tied together in Tanakh as one happening at the same time as the other. By the way, Rivka being born at the moment of the Akedah, remember, where do we get that? Because right after the Akedah, it says, Vahi achar dvarim ha'elev ha'yugad la'avraham le'mor, hinei yaldan milkah, that Avram gets a report of all the births up in Haran. And Rivka is mentioned among there. Doesn't say she was born then. It says that's when Avram heard about it. Yeah. I mean, you heard about it 10 years ago, a girl was born. You understand what I'm saying? Is there's nothing that ties them together. In any case, that's part of what Seder Olam's agenda is. Now, whether Seder Olam itself, whether the author of Seder Olam would actually say, this is, I know what happened, or saying, this is a way to tie these things together, not my concern. But you take a look at Seder Olam, and here is from, I use Nolakowski's critical edition of Seder Olam, which came out a couple years, we waited 30 years for him to put this out, the critical edition of Seder Olam with all the different manuscripts and everything else, compared, and so this seems to be the best version of it. Avinu Yaakov Ayam B'Shashtin Parech Ben Shishim Shana. The first thing Seder Olam claims is that Yaakov was 63 when he got the bracha. Now, by the way, when he got the bracha is critical because that's when he ran away. Mm-hmm. Right? Ran away right after the bracha. How'd they get 63? They got 63 from the following piece. Right after Yaakov gets sent away, which is the same time, Esav, the last pasuk in the parsha, Esav sees that his parents are very unhappy with his wives. So he goes and marries a cousin from Yishmael. And he marries Bat Yishmael, and she's called Achot Nevayot. So she's called Bat Yishmael, and it's called Achot Nevayot. Why is she called that? So the Midrashic take is that when he betrothed her, she was Bat Yishmael, but by the time he came to marry her, Yishmael had died. And so Nevayot, the older brother, gave her away. And so where did this idea come that Yishmael died? And what does that mean? So we said that explains why we have a whole parsha in Chayisara that tells us how old Yishmael when he already died, because between you and me and the lamppost, who cares? So the Midrash says, why is it there? It's there to tell me, oh, Yishmael's 137. And by the way, Yishmael's 14 years older than Yitzchak, which means Yitzchak's 123 when his older brother Yishmael dies. If he, and Yitzchak was 60 when the boys were born, that means the boys were 63 when they got the bracha. Okay? And then we make the following calculations. Very interesting. I'll just sum what's in this piece. Is that the claim is that Yitzchak, that Yaakov was 77 when he arrived at Laban's house. Where do we get 77 from? Because we're going to work backwards. What's the one age of Yaakov that we actually know before his death? We know nothing about any age he is when he makes lentil soup, when he goes to Haran, any of that. The one age that we're told of besides when he dies is 130 when he arrives in Egypt. When he arrives in Egypt, he meets Paro and he says, I'm 130. And he lives 17 years in Egypt and he dies at 147. That's all together. Good. How old is Yosef when Yaakov arrives in Egypt? And the answer is 39. How do I know 39?
22 and 17.
39. That's not how I know it. How do I know it? I know it from the actual numbers. I know it from the numbers in Tanakh. When Yosef is brought out of prison to interpret Paro's dreams, the text says he's 30. What happens immediately after he's brought out? 7 years of plenty. In what year of the famine did the brothers finally come down and get reunited and the family came down? The second year. Which means there were 9 years since Yosef became viceroy. So I know that Yosef is 39. Now, if Yosef is 39 and father is 130, that means father was 91 when he gave birth to Yosef. Okay. Ben Zakuni. Now, the other piece of the puzzle is that if Yaakov worked for 6 years for Lavan after Yosef was born, and he left when he was 97, and he was there a total of 20 years, that means he got there when he was 77. And then they ask the question, well, he got there when he was 77, so how come if he left when he was 63, it doesn't take 14 years to get there? And that's where this whole idea of that Yaakov going and spending 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Aver and being a student of Aver, and when Aver died, then Yaakov left, then Aver died afterwards, that whole piece comes to fill in that blank. Okay? However, all of this rests on several assumptions. And the first assumption is actually how we read this psukim. But I'm going to show you what the problems are here. Flip the page, and you're going to see I made a little chart. You have to remember that the way the Torah tells the story, no two wives are pregnant at the same time. Leah has four kids, Rachel's not doing anything, and the handmaids are cleaning toilets. They're not getting pregnant. After that happens, Rachel comes up to Yaakov and says, I want a kid. It's not me, right? Bilhah, and then Dan. Then after Dan, Naphtali. None of them are twins. Afterwards, Leah comes and says, hey, good idea. Hands over Zilpah, and you have Gad and Asher. And then after that, you have the whole story with the Dudaim, with the mandrakes, and where Rachel sells her night with Yaakov for the flowers, and where Leah has relations, and suddenly she's pregnant again, and that's Yisachar, and then another one's Zvulun, and then Dinah. All right? And then, afterwards, you have Yosef born.
And Binyamin.
Right? Not here. Binyamin's not in Haran. Because Binyamin's not part of the calculation. Now, take a look at the chart, and you'll see how impossible this is. See the chart? The numbers I used were simply Reuven is born at year 8, 7 months, which means Leah had a 7-month pregnancy, got pregnant right away, by the way, had a 7-month pregnancy, and the next day got pregnant, and 7 months later had Shimon. The next day got pregnant, had Levi 7 months later, and the next day got pregnant, had Yehuda. The next day, next couple days, Rachel gives Bilhah over to Yaakov, and she has 7 months. Every one of these is a 7-month baby. Right? And you realize how, I'd say, improbable, and I'm being nice, any of this is. Because to say that say that these women all have kids and no miscarriages, right? That's A. B, to say that they have kids and all of them are the absolute minimum amount of time that could last in rabbinic times. I don't know if in biblical times, 7 months, and then they get pregnant immediately afterwards. Without a break, it's all very, very difficult. All right? But now I'd like to ask some other questions, even given this very improbable thing. According to this, how old was Yaakov when he got married? 84. He arrives when he's 77 and waits 7 years.
Okay. Yeah.
What kind of thing is that? You're the guy who's supposed to be having this huge nation. Your brother, Esav, got married when he was 40. Father got married when he was 40. Avram, we don't know. And you're waiting until you're 84. What are you doing this whole time? Where's the family? That's first of all. We have another problem. When Yaakov and Lavan, when Yaakov comes to Lavan at year after 14 years, when he's finished and Yosef is born, he comes up to Lavan and says, time for me to go. And they make an agreement and they split the flocks, right? Right? You take a look at the bottom pasuk on the page, you will see that when they do that, Yaakov takes his flock and puts it in charge of his sons. In the meantime, he watches Lavan's flock. And they have to separate them. They're spotted, they're not spotted, etc., right? How old are his sons? At this point, the oldest one is not even 7. There's a problem? By this calculation, yeah. Right. The oldest one is not even 7. Right? It gets much more difficult, right? Right after they leave, which means the oldest son is 12, and then goes down from there, and that means the next son is 11,
ten,
and the next son is 10. Well, I'm talking about 11 and 10 now.
Yeah.
We come to Shechem. What happens in Shechem? Shechem comes out asking the brothers for the rights to marry Dina. And they're negotiating with him. These 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds, right? 11. And they come up with this ruse. And then what do they do when everybody's sitting there circumcised? Two of them, a 10-year-old and an 11-year-old, come and destroy the whole town. You understand that actually playing this story through becomes very difficult. It strains credulity. What happens after we leave Shechem, before we get to Yitzchak? Remember, Chazal, in the Seder Olam, it's all 22 years. What happens before we get to Yitzchak? So after the death of Rachel, Reuven does something. What does Reuven do? What? No, afterwards, we're now in Israel. Reuven takes Bilhah. Now, does he take Bilhah and sleep with her? Does he move to bed? He does something where he's controlling the sexual politics. He loses his Bechor as a result. It's considered to be a huge, huge sin. Whatever it is he did. Right? The whole thing with Bilhah? According to this, he's 14 at the time. You understand? Now, again, you could say 14-year-olds then were there, but then you get into that whole problem of then nothing's reality anymore. By the way, based on the map above, how much younger is Yosef than, let's say, Zevulun? A year and 2 months. Now, what's Yosef called? What does the Torah call him? Ben Zakunim. What does a Ben Zakunim usually mean? After, like, you know, you had a few kids and then a break, and then there's another kid way, way later. My brother, Alam Shalom, was 11 years older than I am. My sister, Bet Alachaim, was 14 years older than I am. I'm a Ben Zakuni. My parents were much older when they had me, and that's a different reality. Some of us are familiar with that. Ben Zakuni, I'm here to call Yosef Ben Zakuni, is a little weird considering that he's only a year younger than the other guy. He's not even a year younger than his sister, according to this chart. Now, there's other explanations for Ben Zakuni, and every one of these questions could possibly be answered locally, but the minute you have this many questions piled together, you see, we've got to look at things a little differently. So I'd like to make a little bit of a different suggestion, okay? And it actually goes back to source 3. At the end of Perek Chaf Vav, the one Perek that's about Yitzchak, after that we have a new parsha at the very end that says Esav was 40 and he got married. And we hear that Yitzchak and Rivka were not so happy with the choice. And then we hear Yitzchak is old, and he thinks he's going to die, and he tells Esav to, and that starts the whole scene that ends with Yaakov running away. How much later did that happen? So we assume that that happened way, way later, because Yitzchak's now going to die. Except it's not true. Yitzchak is not going to die. He lives for decades more than this anyways. So I'd like to suggest maybe the following. Esav got married. Yitzchak and Rivka are not happy with his wives. And at that point, Yitzchak decides he's going to put his affairs in order. Right? And by the way, it's pretty reasonable. Once one of your kids gets married, we've already got another generation coming, put an affairs in order. So he's okay, good. I'm going to give you a bracha. Which means that happens when the boys are 40. What happens as a result of this event? Yaakov steals the bracha. Esau wants to kill him. Yaakov runs away. How old's Yaakov?
40.
And then what did What did Rivka say to Yitzchak to get Yaakov to leave? She said, I hate these local girls. If Yaakov marries a local girl, I'm going to put my head in the oven. And so Yitzchak says, oh, you go up to Levon and marry one of his daughters. Because it's marriage age. Yitzchak got married at 48, some got married at 40, you get married now. All right? So it takes a little time. He gets there. But he's in his 40s. He meets Rachel. So I'll work for you for 7 years. Okay. 7 years later, what happens? It's Leah. Right? Leah. A week later, it's Rachel. And now we settle into what we would call a normal stream of life. Meaning, he's got Leah, he's got Rachel, which is a tremendous headache, a tremendous avla. Married to two women at one time, but their sisters, the jealousies and everything else, and it just almost destroys the family. And it leads to Egypt. It's because of this. We end up in Egypt.
Why?
Right? Because as a result of this, what happens? The hatred carries to the next generation, and Leah's kids hate Yosef, and they sell him to slavery, and right? Because I'll say this. Because I'll blame Yaakov for going to Egypt. He said, you favored as one son over the others. And that's why they went down. So, you have a normal thing kind of happened. Leah, first of all, take a look if you see in Source 5. And afterwards it says, Vayarad laiki snua Leah. God saw that Leah was disfavored. And he lets her get pregnant, which sounds like Rachel and Leah were married for a few years to Yaakov. And then finally, you know, and what happens? She gets pregnant. She has a kid, Reuven. What does Reuven mean, by the way?
Reuven.
Look, there's a boy. Great, right? And she nurses Reuven and raises Reuven. And a couple of years later, she gets pregnant again, right? And she goes to the Shimon, and then again, the same thing. And in the meantime, Rachel's sitting there getting older, not having any kids. Leah's now going not through 7 months at a time, but about 2 years at a time. You know, have pregnancy, giving birth, nursing, and everything else, and having another kid. And this is going on for a while. And the kids are starting to get older. And then finally, Rachel turns around and says, hey, what about me and Bilhah? Right? Who might have been underage when she was brought into the household, but now she's of age. Okay, good, have relations with her, done, and then a while later, Naftali. And then Leah, good idea. And here's the big surprise. Leah suddenly has kids again. This seems to be somewhat miraculous. She says, Natan Elohim Schari, God has given me a reward because I gave up the flowers, right? Whatever the issue was. But it sounds like something special. And then Dinah is born. And then finally, later, Yosef is born. And when Yosef is born, Yaakov turns to Lavan and says, time for me to go. And Lavan says, negotiate again. And then he starts building up his capital in order to go. So this didn't take 13 years. This took maybe 30 years, 40 years. One way or the other, I've got to get Yosef as being born when Yaakov is a real old man. That I got to get. But the rest of it, I'm not. So now my only problem is, but wait a second. Yaakov himself said, I've been here 20 years. How do you stuff 50 years into 20 years? So read Yaakov's words again carefully. I'll tell you what I think happened. What does Yaakov say? Ze esrim shana anochi imach. What does that mean?
With you.
20 years that I've been with you. And then what does he say in the second variation? Ze li esrim shana bevetecha.
In your house.
Right? 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 for the flock. So here's what I'd like to propose happen. Yaakov arrives. Lavan makes the deal. So Yaakov works 7 years, marries Leah, marries Rachel a week later, and then works 7 more years. And in the meantime, they've maybe had 2 kids. Reuven and Shimon maybe are born, right? And then what? He can't go home. Why can't he go home? His mother told him, brother's going to kill you. I'll let you know when he calms down. He hasn't heard from mother. So what does he do?
He's paid off.
He stays. So what does he do when he stays?
Walks on
he does his own work.
Yeah.
Right? He does his own work. He hires out to other people. He stays there. What finally happens when Yosef is born? He gets a clue. Well, maybe mother's not going to call him, but I think it's time for me to go home. Why does he get a clue? So his Soloveitchik says Yosef's birth signaled to Yaakov that this might be Brit Ben Abatarim. After all, what did Hashem tell Avram? Your seed are going to be strangers in a foreign land. They're going to be worked very hard for a long time, 400 years, a long time. And the fourth generation will return here. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yosef. Right? As far as Yaakov is concerned, Yosef's the only one that counts because he's Rachel's kid. The minute Yosef is born, boom, I want to go back. So he comes to Lavan and says, I want to go back. He's got to ask his permission because Lavan's kind of the head of the family. And Lavan says, okay, fine. But Yaakov says, okay, now I've got to make some capital for myself. So he goes back to herding. So 14 years and much, much, much later, 6 years. Total of 20 years, but not 20 years together. And suddenly all the questions fall apart. By the time Yaakov arrives in Shechem, his sons are in their 20s. They could certainly negotiate and massacre. Even when he divides up with Lavan, his older sons are already older teenagers, if not in their 20s. They could certainly take care of the flock. All the questions fall. He's not having kids at some crazy rate.
Yeah. So the key to it, the 20 year he worked for him, but he stayed and worked for himself.
In between the 14 and 6, there was a whole decades maybe in which he's in Haran, and it explains Yaakov's not waiting until he's 80 to get married. He's starting right away at the age in which Yitzchak did, and Yesav did, and he does. And by the way, Yosef is 30 when he gets married. And it seems like his other brothers are also in their 30s or so. They're going back to what we would think of as a more normal age for getting married, instead of some crazy antiquated kind of thing. You know, not antiquated, but very, you know, antique almost kind of age to get married. And so just simply looking at this passage that he says and saying, well, yes, Esrim Shana, but not necessarily contiguous, suddenly everything opens up. Now, of course, we have to start by saying, we know what the Midrash says, but what does the Tanakh say? And then we've got to say the Midrash has its particular agenda, but we're not necessarily wedded to that as the only way to read the text. Not to chas v'shalom to negate it, but say there may be another way to read the text. Just like the Rishonim are familiar with Seder Olam, and yet some of them say Yitzchak at the Akedah was 13, or was 12, or was whatever age, based on what it looked like in the text, not looking necessarily at the Midrash as the only way to read it. So, different way to look at it.